This is LiveWell Talk on the new Heart and Lung Surgery Satellite Clinic. I'm Dr. Dustin Arnold, Chief Medical Officer at St. Luke's Hospital, Unity Point Health. Recently, St. Luke's opened a new Unity Point Health Heart and Lung Surgery Satellite Clinic in Dubuque, Iowa, where my guest today, cardiothoracic surgeon Dr. James Levette, will see patients once a month. This clinic is part of Unity Point Health's mission to provide a continuum of care to our patients by giving them easier access to St. Luke's nationally recognized heart and lung surgery care. Dr. Levette, welcome to the podcast, your first podcast.
Yes, it is.
Well, it's good to have you.
Well, thank you.
Give the listeners some background about cardiothoracic surgery at Finley in Dubuque and our relationship with them.
Well, they're part of the Unity Point system, and they've got a very solid cardiology program at Finley, but they don't have a cardiac surgery program. So we've, of course, had our program since, I think, 1978 when we got started here at St. Luke's, and we've had a very strong program recognized nationally a number of times. And we are working to sort of improve our ability to communicate with the doctors there and the patients and take care of their patients when they need some heart surgery.
You know, I know you don't underestimate this because I know you personally, but I think sometimes leadership in healthcare underestimates the degree of challenge geography is for patients and transportation. When I practiced in Grinnell, I love my patients. I mean, they were fabulous people. They're just like the patients we take care of here, you know, just solid, salt of the earth, hardworking people. But, you know, if they had to go to Des Moines for a test or a surgery, you might as well say, well, I want you to get on the Concorde and fly to Paris, France, because it was at some level insurmountable. I know some people, some listeners might laugh at that. Oh, you're going to drive to Des Moines. Big deal. It is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And patients are so grateful. So this is really interesting from a standpoint of patient satisfaction and access.
Well, I think those of us who've been in Iowa for a number of years know that the ability to drive from Cedar Rapids to Dubuque has improved.
Oh, my God. That was my mom's hometown. The only downside is it's faster, dramatically.
Yes.
Dramatically. But I don't, there's that ice cream place in Monticello that we would get ice cream on the way home. Now you go around Monticello, yep. So, you know, there's no ice cream now. That's the downside.
That's the downside. But it's really, it's kind of a pretty drive. It's, you know, an hour type drive.
Yeah.
No big deal. And I certainly have enjoyed just having the ability to get out and get a little highway time once in a while. I don't think patients mind that too much. Usually the roads are in good shape, even if there's bad weather. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's a big change than what it was when I was. Same with going to Waterloo. I mean,
yes,
Waterloo's exactly. Like northern Cedar Rapids now.
Right.
It used to be, you know, a long way. But right. So what, are you going to see patients there, hospital follow-ups? Maybe someone had their bypass surgery done here, and you're going to see them there so they don't have to come down? Those sort of visits?
Yeah, we'd be up there a day or two a month, starting at a day a month. And we'll see patients that are new patients referred by local doctors in Dubuque, patients the cardiologists there would like us to see for whatever reason, such as a consideration for a what we call a TAVR, aortic valve replacement that's done without an open incision. We'll certainly be able to see patients after they've had surgery. If they come down here for an operation, we can see them up there post-op. They can also have their rehab post-op at Finley.
Oh, their cardiac rehab.
Cardiac post-op. Rehab,
oh, that's
yeah.
Good news. That's good.
Yeah, makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And if there are any issues that we need to be taken care of here in Cedar Rapids, we can certainly make sure they have accommodations or transportation if they need to come down here. That wouldn't be common.
Yeah.
Most patients do pretty well.
Right, absolutely. And that's a long, if everything's going well, that's a long trip just to be told everything's going well and
right.
Go back home.
Right, yeah. Right. And the cardiology office and their cardiology lab at Finley is really nicely designed. It's very, they're very close together, and so the office setting I think is nice for the patients.
And it's the same medical record,
right?
Both on Epic, so you'll have access to that. You have access in their clinic.
We have access to it. We can get consults from our doctors here and there, so it's all facilitated pretty well that way.
Well, let me ask Dr. Levette. Let me ask you. you've been with the cardiac surgery for almost since the beginning, I think, correct?
Well, not since the beginning, but I think Dr. Mefford and Strong started in 78, and I came about 88.
What are your thoughts on, we've had plenty of podcasts about the structural heart program and all the, just the technology that's just booming in the in cardiac surgery and cardiology. What are your thoughts on what you've seen over your career?
Well, when we started, when I was trained, there wasn't really any experience yet with interventional cardiology procedures, even the idea of stretching a blocked vessel with a balloon. We call that a balloon angioplasty. That was developed, you know, in the 80s. And in the ensuing, I would say, 15, 20 years, there was a huge amount of progress made in the technology development. So we, you know, the cardiologists had the ability to expand a blood vessel with a balloon inside of it to make it larger and reduce a blockage. And then they developed stents, which were little devices that they could put into a vessel, which would kind of keep it open. It's kind of like a spring in a sense.
Right.
And that developed over during the 90s and, you know, 2000s. And it's a very well, I think, structured system now. They have extremely good equipment and good catheters and good devices and stents, if you will, that they can use. So they work well. There's still a place for the surgical part of it, but a lot of what we used to do is now accomplished well with stents. But at the same time, there are a lot of people that have extensive disease that are better treated with surgery. So having a collaboration between the cardiology doctors and the surgeons is very important in trying to make the right decisions for a patient. And I think we do a good job of that. We've certainly had a good relationship with the doctors Dubuque all along.
Yeah, but yeah, they've been a good referral base for us, good partners.
Yes.
Not only, you know, and I want to make the comment, not only cardiology, gastroenterology, neonatology, we've had a great relationship with Finley. Dr. Pecos up there is a good friend of mine.
Just to extend the thinking a little bit, Dustin, in addition to the work that the cardiologists can do on the blood vessels, they now have structural devices that they can use, for example, to replace an aortic valve with an approach that goes through a leg rather than opening the chest. And that is also done in Strong with a really solid collaboration with surgery. So the surgeon and the cardiologist work together to do those procedures. And now there's even other things that they're able to do with respect to another valve, a mitral valve.
Lots of stuff coming out.
Yeah.
My biggest recollection of an advancement in cardiothoracic surgery as an internal medicine physician was I was house staff. So it was like 1992, right? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we're going to extubate the patient day one, day zero, the day operative day in the ICU afterwards. And, the scuttlebutt in the unit was, you can't do that. You can't, you know, and we were going to do it, you know. And I remember like the tension of, you know, taking the patient off the ventilator and waking them up that day was like huge. Like, oh, I can't. Now that's like routine practice, you know. I mean, they're awake coming back. Most days, some days,
more,
for me as an non-surgeon, internal medicine, I just remember that day and it was like a big deal. Now it's nothing, you know?
Well, I mean, to your point though, the other part of the concept of doing a good job from a team standpoint is you think, you know, we've talked about cardiologists and the surgeons, but we have extremely strong anesthesiologists here.
Yes, we do.
We've benefited from. They're the ones that, you know, give us that ability to make those patients or get those patients awake and safely extubated and things like that. A great majority are extubated. They have their breathing tube out in less than 6 hours.
Yeah. That was. I can remember that. That was huge. I remember my dad had surgery. He's in the top. The first 20 cases.
Oh, really?
Dr. Strong did it.
Yep.
And I remember that my recollection was that things went fine, and he was here like 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, now they go home in two or three. you know? Yeah. and yeah, it just, it just keeps changing all the time. You know, and sometimes I always remember that I'm not a very good, Woody Allen fan, but there's that one where the doctor is, the doctor makes a comment. He traveled in time or something. The doctor makes a comment. He goes, "Would you believe he comes from a time when they thought cholesterol was bad?" You know, and I sometimes think of my career, you know, that are my grandkids going to go into medicine and go, "Can you believe my great grandfather gave people aspirin?" You know what I mean? I mean, this, it's medicine is an art and it's a practice, and it does change over time, which is part of the fun. And these younger doctors are so smart. And they join the medical staff, and they just make us older guys smarter. I mean, I'm glad when they come. So,
yeah.
Speaking of careers, I know you probably felt you couldn't handle the glamour and the prestige of internal medicine, so you went to cardiothoracic surgery. Why?
Well, I think I had I sort of liked to do stuff with my hands, and I had a lot of experience with. Yeah, working my way through college, had a painting company and stuff. So I like to do things like that. And when I got into med school, and you know how you go through the first year and a half is kind of basic science. You're hitting the books pretty hard and gross anatomy and all that. And then you get in the clinical side about the second semester of your second year. And then you get exposed to all these different specialties. You rotate through everything. And I really like surgery, and I was quite impressed with the cardiac surgery program at the University of Iowa, where I went to med school. And a couple of the doctors there, Dr. Doty and Dr. Ehrenhoff, were kind of role models, I always thought. And I was able to work with them just as a student. But I really liked it. I thought it was a very challenging specialty, and that interested me.
Well, you've made a great contribution, not only to surgery here at St. Luke's, but also just the medical community. We're proud of the contributions you've made, and also I personally am very thankful for all the support you've given me over the years with the hospitalist program, etc. Dr. Levette, thank you for joining me and informing our listeners about the new Heart and Lung Surgery Satellite Clinic. Once again, this was Dr. James Levette, cardiothoracic surgeon with Unity Point Health, Heart and Lung Surgery. For more information on heart and lung surgery, visit unitypoint.org. Thank you for listening to Live Well, Talk On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your family, friends, neighbors, strangers about our podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, be well.